Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. And while you're looking there in your Bibles for Galatians chapter 2, let's all stand out of respect for the Word of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. I'll read these two for you, and then we'll pray and have a special. Galatians chapter 2. This is our beginning for the message tonight, and then we'll turn to some other passages. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 19. And I'll read these for you as you follow along silently. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless us tonight through your word. I pray that, Lord, you'd give us that which we are needing this evening. I pray the Lord that your message would be reached from the youngest person to the oldest, and Lord, that it will meet the needs. We thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us, for being with us. I pray now again that you would be close to Clint and Rhonda and bless in that situation. In Christ's name, amen.
Yes, Jesus
took my burden,
took them all away,
turned my night of darkness
into
brightest day,
places
arms around me,
lest I go
astray.
Yes,
Jesus took my
burdens all away.
Jesus
took
my burdens,
took them all
away,
turned my
light of darkness
into
day,
places
arms
around me,
lest I go astray.
Yes, he
took
my burdens all away.
Tonight, and I saw Mrs. Kent's mother here. Good to have her with us, visiting from New York. Usually, when she's here, she hears me preach over in junior church, but tonight, we don't have junior church now because of the changes, so she's here tonight. So I told her I'm going to have to give her a junior church style message since she's here and she's used to hearing junior church. But I didn't bring any prizes to give away to the Quiet Seat Prize, or whoever. I should have brought something. I always think of it too late when I come in here. Although, I know this crowd, and probably a whole lot of you wouldn't win. I see all the talking going on. So, people checking their phones. No, I don't see that. I'm kidding. I cannot see that. But junior church is a lot of fun. It is. And so is big church, too. But junior church. Am I on right here? Okay, all right. Junior church, I take care of all this here while I'm going, so used to it. But this microphone, there we go. Okay, it sounds better. All right, I love the Christian life. I love being Christian. I just do. I feel comfortable in the Christian life. I can't imagine living any other way. I enjoy it. And the text we have here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I have Jesus Christ in my life. And what more could you ask for? When I got saved at salvation, I got Him. When I got salvation, I got Him. Now, I also got everlasting life, and that's pretty good, too. That's pretty good. In fact, that's a great deal. That's pretty good. I really didn't do a whole lot. I prayed. I meant it. And look what I got out of it. I got Jesus Christ in my life, which has made life wonderful. And I also got everlasting life afterwards. I don't have to worry about it. I remember, I've told this before many times, and this is, you've heard in junior church before. When I was 2 years old, I climbed up the ladder of the bunk bed, asked my sister Mary, who was 1 year older than I was. She was in third grade. I was in second grade. She was in third grade. And I asked her, I was crying. I was worried about what was going to happen when I die. And I asked her, what's going to happen when I die? And she said, you die, they bury you in the ground, and that's it. Oh, that was real comforting. So I went back to the bottom bunk and cried some more because I didn't know what was going to happen to me after that. I don't worry about that anymore. Haven't worried about it since I was saved. And I love the Christian life. I love the fact that I have everlasting life. It's a great, great deal. You can't say, well, what about when you've got everlasting life in the package? You can't, well, what about, you know what? I had to give that. So what? You had to give up something. You have everlasting life. Even if we have hardship, even if we have trials, even if down here on earth there's a lot of pain, and there is that in some people's lives and more in some than others, but all in all, I have Jesus and I have everlasting life. You can't talk me out of it. Even if I could give it up, even if I could lose it somehow, even if I could get rid of it somehow, I wouldn't do it. I've got the package, I've got what I wanted, and there's no way I'm letting loose of it. I've got a great life. I have the Christian life. I have everlasting life. I have Jesus Christ, and I have eternal life. I'm going to live forever in heaven. Boy, that's great. How can you want for anything else? You know, why would we live a life of complaining and griping and bad-mouthing? Man, look what we have. Look what we have. We've got a great life. It's a good life that we have, this Christian life. I like that. And we have Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said here that he has Jesus. He said, the life that I live, he says, but Christ liveth in me. That's what he says. He says somewhere else also in Scripture, he said, for me to live is Christ. He has that. And a skeptic can say, well, there's another verse where Paul mentions this. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, yeah, that is pretty bad, but you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about before Jesus. It was horrible before Jesus, but now he has Jesus, and he's pretty excited about that. So yes, he did make that statement, but you got to look at it in the context. That's before Jesus. After Jesus, everything is so much better. What a great life that we have in Jesus Christ. When I got Jesus at salvation, I got Him, and I also got everlasting life. Reminds me of the story of the country boy. He went to the city for the first time, and here he'd never seen the big city before, never seen the tall buildings before, gets a job at one of the high rises there, and his job is to deliver packages. So the boss gives him a package, and says, I want you to take this package to the 18th floor. So he decides, well, I'm going to go there. So he finds the stairs and he climbs the stairs all the way up to the 18th floor, huffing and puffing all the way up there. And he goes back down the stairs to find out what the boss wants for him next. He gets down there and the boss says, well, you need to take this package to the 13th floor. So he goes back up to the all day long, up and down the stairs, delivering packages. And it goes on like that all week. When he gets done, he gets his paycheck. Now, this is in the olden days, you can tell. And he gets his check, and his check's for $27. And he says, no way, this is not worth it. Climbing up and down those stairs all the time for $27? This is a pitiful job. I'm not working here. I'm giving this. So he goes to the boss and says, hey, I can't do this. I can't walk up and down these stairs all day long for 5 days for only $27. It's too much work. And the boss says, what'd you say? He said, I can't walk up and down these stairs all day long. The boss says, whoa, there's an elevator right down here. He'd never seen an elevator before. Oh, the country kid. So he gets in the elevator, pushes the button. The door's open. Hey, this is nice. He gets done delivering his package. He goes, what else you got for me? Well, I'll deliver packages all day. It's so much easier with the elevator. That's the difference between not having Jesus and having Jesus Christ. The elevator life. That's the difference. It's so much easier with Jesus Christ. helping us out. Now, you can be saved, too, and not work through with Jesus Christ in your life. That's the shame. You can do that, or you can include Jesus Christ. He's there anyhow. You can include Him in your life, and what a difference it is. Now, sometimes it's going easy, but it's always easier with the elevator. Sometimes going is hard, but it's still going to be easier with the elevator. You've been to the airport before, and you got your luggage, and you're running down that big long hallway, and then they've got that ground escalator. You just step on it. You know. Now, you know what most people do? They just keep on walking. But it's still easier. It's still easier. Life is easier with Jesus Christ. I remember one time we were out baling. First time I baled hay, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. But it was a lot of work. They had the hay, and they got there to, this is over at Langman's Farm. They got the hay all up there. I mean, pulling it off the machine there and stacking it on the cart. That was fun. Then we got to the barn to put it up in the barn, and I don't know what it's called. I guess the auger that's supposed to take it up there wasn't working. So what Mr. Langman did is he went to town and he got four or five of the biggest guys he could find, and they would stand there and they were throwing them up there. Now, me, I wasn't one of the biggest guys he could find. I was probably about 110 pounds, if that. But I was on top with the hook, and they throw it up, and I had to grab it and pull it up there. And still, even on my part, it was a lot of work. Now, partly because I had to catch it, pull it up, and pull it in there, not get it off the auger that would push it up. Also, it was hard because if I didn't catch it, it would go back down. And one of those big guys down there was looking at me real angry-like because he'd all used all that energy to heft it up there, and now he's going to have to heft it up again. So I was real careful to make sure I hooked it the first time so I didn't have to put up with the angry looks. But that was a lot of work. The next day, he got the auger working. Oh, so much easier. We didn't have to use the hooks. It would just go up the auger. It'd push it in there. And sometimes we just let it go, and four or five of them just pushed their way in there. We wouldn't even have to walk as much. It was so much easier. It'd just go up there, and one would come off, and it would go there. Another one would come up behind it, push it in there, and push it in until they were coming all the way across the top of the barn. And we just take it and throw it into place. So much easier when it's working right. And the Christian life works so much easier when it's working right. What are you talking about? Jesus Christ. Having Jesus Christ in your life, the elevator life. Hey, it can be tough for a Christian reading his Bible every day without Jesus Christ. People read their Bible and they say, well, man, I'm not getting anything out of it. It's a chore. I can't get it done. You know why you're doing it without Jesus Christ? It's so much easier with Jesus Christ. Praying. Just kneeling down and praying. Sometimes it just gets so hard and to remember to do and get it done. But it's so much easier with Jesus Christ. Teaching the Sunday school class, being a bus captain, whatever service we have for God, it's so much easier when Jesus Christ is involved. That's why, folks, this is why sometimes folks will be in a Sunday school class and they'll just say, it's just not exciting anymore. It's just, it's so much. Oh, man. Oh, good night. Saturday night, I haven't even looked at my lesson yet. Oh, man. It's such a struggle. You know why? We're doing this. Up and down the stairs. This is our Christian life. It doesn't have to be like this. Working for God, serving the Lord, doesn't have to be up and down and up and down and up and down. It can be so much easier if we just let Jesus Christ work in our lives. When I got saved, I got Jesus Christ. And because of that, it makes life easier. And I'm not even talking about all the other things that we got. But wait. And there's more. Hey, you know those commercials? Huh? You know those commercials where they got the knife and they show you how to slice the tomato all those different ways? And they tell you how much it is. And then they say, and there's more. And they bring out the other knife. And this knife peels the onion, though, nothing flat. And they show you how it works. These are the infomercials, all right? The ones you watch when you're sitting in the hospital waiting room. and they peel the onion there, and it's all done. And then, when that's all done, they give you the price for, now you got the tomato slicing knife, and now you got the onion peeling knife, and there's more. And no extra charge, it's the same price. $39.99. Three easy installments of $39.99. I mean, that's how much. Then they go from that to the bread slicer. And there's more. And they show you the orange peeler. And there's more. Then you get a sixth set of steak knives. And they go on and on. Fingernail clippers and everything come with this thing. And there's more. Man, what a deal. You get back thinking, man, this is great. This, I got me a deal. I'm ordering, what's that, 1-800? You know, get the number down. Get them knives. I mean, they do that with everything. I mean, they do that with, remember the old stud masters and the Ronco pocket fishermen and all those things, man? There's always something that goes with it. Man, that's a deal. I mean, magazine subscriptions. You can't just get a magazine now. You've got to get the atlas that goes with it. You've got to get the self-help book that goes with it. They've got all this free stuff that goes with it. You know what? God's got his own plan going too. And it's pretty good. I guarantee you, it's a whole lot better than what they're offering too. Because these guys always got a gimmick. God's got no gimmicks. He's got a good plan going too. I said when I got Jesus Christ, that I got him and I got everlasting life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's more. Turn to Luke chapter 18. I could go to three different verses here. And I'm not going to go all at what the verses are talking about. I just want to bring out one principle out of these verses here. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 27. I'll start right there. We could go to Mark. We could go to Matthew as well. But we'll stay in Luke here and read through this. Look at this. I read this and I thought, man, this is it right here. This is it right here. God's telling us right here, and there's more. All right, this is where the rich man comes to Jesus and says, how can I go to heaven? And he tells him, and the disciples are confused. And verse number 27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Boy, I love that statement. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Verse number 28, then Peter said, lo, I like that little word right there. You know what we would say today? We wouldn't say low. Nobody says low anymore. Low. You know, we don't say that. You know what we'd say? Whoa. That's what we'd say today. That's the same thing. It's the same meaning. Like, well, I can't believe this. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold the presses. Hold your horses. Let me know. Tell me what's going on. I didn't just hear what you just said. That's what Peter's saying there. Low. We have left all and followed thee. Wait a minute, Jesus. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Look at this. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. I told you there's more. There's more than just everlasting life. There's more than just Jesus Christ in our life. God's telling us here and other places too, but I'm just going to stick with this verse right here. That we have manifold more. I like the word manifold. I keep saying manifest. Manifold more. Now, when I look at a manifold on a car engine, not that I do it very often, but when you think about one, if about five people, I guess, to think about them, but the manifold inside the engine, it's got either one inlet and a series of outlets, or it's got one outlet and a series of inlets. That's where the manifold works. That's what he's talking about here. You got one outlet, you're doing something, and God's putting a whole lot of different things from all these different areas into your life. Manifold means, by the dictionary, from many and various forms, features, places, parts, etc. That's what manifest more means. Here's why God's telling us here. You got Jesus when you got saved. Now when you give to Jesus, there's more. When you give something to Jesus Christ, these folks were giving up some things. These folks were giving some things. Jesus wanted the rich man to give up some things. He wanted to sell them. He wanted to distribute them. He's saying, if you leave these things, if you give them up for me, if you give me something back, there's more. I can give you so much more. Manifold more. You won't even know where it's coming from. It's coming from so many different places. You won't see where it's all coming from. I think about back when I was in Bible college, I didn't know a whole lot what was going on in the Christian life. I was just learning everything brand new, you know, sitting under Dr. Howes there and trying to learn as much as I could. But I started doing some things that I learned that were good. And I started helping some folks out with their tuition. They had City Baptist, which is a school for bus kids. They didn't have any other way to pay, so I started helping out. They said it was a good thing to do. I don't know who they were, but they said it was a good thing to do. So I started doing it. And I had paid my own bills first, but what extra I had, I started pumping into the kids at the City Baptist, these bus kids. I paid for Maria and Patty and Elva and Dennis and Andrew and a bunch of different folks so they could go to the City Baptist high school there. And I put a little something in. I gave a little something. I pulled something in. And you know what? I wasn't expecting anything in return, but God's given me a lot back. I mean, if you just talk about money, I don't know how much it was. I have no idea. I didn't even try to think about it this afternoon. I have no idea how much in the 4 years I did that, how much money it was. It could, I don't know, $2,000, $5,000, $500,000. No, it wasn't that. But it was a good deal of money for a college student, I know. But God blessed me, gave me a decent job. I could do it. But God has given so much. A little bit it went in, but the manifold blessings that have come out of there are unbelievable. Are unbelievable. Not only if I look at financially how God's taking care of me and the things that I have in my life, but I think one of the greatest things is here I was trying to help some young people. I didn't really know what to do, but God's increased that to where I still have the opportunity, I still have the availability, I still have the formula, I say, to still help young people. I enjoy that God's given to me. Manifold more. When I give to Jesus Christ, I get manifold back. I give to God in one area, and He starts giving back in so many different areas. And if we look at Matthew and Mark on the same story, He says, hundredfold. I'll give you hundredfold back. That's what He's talking about. So when God says, yes, when God tells you get saved, you're going to get everlasting life, He gives you Himself too. But He says, if you go beyond that and give, there's more for your Christian life. Now, we can make the choice of the Christian life, and that's basically the message. We can make that choice in our Christian life. We can be saved and just be content with where we're at in our salvation and not do anything else after that. Or we can take our Christian life with Jesus' help and give back to God and get so much more out of it. We can do that. I was going to illustrate this. I did this once before. I believe Brother Jesus, if you'll help me out. And let me have Donald, you can help me too. Come on up here. These are a couple of good guys in the afternoon program. And with Brother Jason, I appreciate that. All right. Why don't you stand over here, Donald, okay, and Jesus, you're over there. I have here some Wonder Bucks. All right. See all these Wonder Bucks up here? Boy, I am rich. I have a lot up here. And here's what's going to happen. This guy just got saved over here. He got Jesus Christ. He got everlasting life. Remember what I said at the beginning of the message? Go ahead and take it. You can take that. Yeah, but don't spin it anywhere. Okay, it's not real. All right. He got... I make sure I tell him that. Okay. That's another junior church story. Well, we won't get into that one right now. He got a good deal. Okay? I'm not downplaying what he just got in salvation. He got everlasting life. That's not bad. Man, that's some good Wonder Bucks you got there. That's all right. He got Jesus Christ. He got a great deal. He got a fabulous deal. He got an outstanding... You can't beat what he just got in salvation. You can't beat it with anything. There is nothing in this world that's greater than what he just got when he got saved. Nothing. Well, I can't smoke anymore. So what? So what? Look what you have. You have everlasting life. Well, I can't cuss anymore. So what? So what? Look what you got. We're always focused on what we can't do. Well, the poor teenagers can't do anything. There's a lot they can do. There's a whole lot they can do. Oh, there's a lot of sinful things that will hurt them, but you don't consider those. It's like saying, man, I can't drink poison stink. No, I can't jump off the Empire State Building. No, those are harmful things. So he didn't consider the sinful things. There's a whole lot of things he can do. And one thing he can do is live forever in heaven. Man, that's good. Look what you got. Man, that's good. I want me some of that. Now, that's what folks should say when they see the way we live. That's what folks should say when they see the way we live, our Christian life. I want some of that. He got Jesus Christ. I'll give him two. Man, you feel good, don't you? He's got them $2 there. He's got everlasting life. He's got Jesus Christ. He's got it made. God says, there's more. God says, there's more. You can have more. He got the same thing. He got Jesus Christ, and he got everlasting life. And he takes what he has, and he says, you know what? What I think I'll do, I'll start going to church on Sunday morning. I'm going to give God that hour and a half, this morning, 2 hours, whatever it might be on Sunday. I'm going to give that to God. I'm going to give that Sunday morning to God. So he decides to give it to God. In some way,
in some fashion. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm just using money because that's an easy representation. There's a whole lot of things in this world a whole lot better than money. There's a whole lot of things God gives us on a daily basis that are a whole lot better than money. I'm just using this as the illustration because it's a good visible illustration. So he gives to God. So God says, you know what? You give me your Sunday morning, I'm going to give you some more. Look at that. That ain't too bad. That ain't. That isn't too bad, is it? Look what he's got. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. But he's got more. He gave something to God and God's giving him something back. He starts growing in the Lord and he starts looking at how God's blessing him and he says, you know what? I probably ought to go on Sunday night and Wednesday night too. Probably ought to. Probably not a bad idea. Especially when the preacher keeps hounding me about it. Preaching from the pulpit. So, okay, I'll go. So he grows a little bit in his Christian life. And because he gives some more of his time to God, God says, manifold more to him. So he gives him a little bit more. Look at what he's got. Again, we're not talking about money. We're just talking about our life here on earth. Because the Bible does say, listen to this, in this present time. Okay, when I read the words in this present time, I don't think of the future. I don't think of after death. I don't think of after life. I don't think of heaven and hell. I think of right now. In this present time. And if you look at Matthew, you look at Mark, it says the same thing. Right now. So, he does that. So he grows on in his Christian life. He decides, he hears the preaching, he hears the instruction at church, and he says, you know what, I need more than just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I ought to be reading my Bible every day. I need to give God some more time. I like the word devotion. I like that word. I'm going to have a devotion time. I'm going to have some time with me and God, praying, reading my Bible. So he grows a little bit more in his Christian life. And as he does, God honors this and gives him manifest more. He gives one thing to God and God gives him so much more. He's gaining in his Christian life. And then he decides, you know what? I need to do more. I need to do something else for God. I need to tell other people about Jesus Christ. I mean, it's one thing for me to have this wonderful thing. I mean, this great Christian life. I'm enjoying it so much. And what God's given me. Oh, I forgot about you. Man, God's given me so much in my Christian life. I ought to tell other people about it. So he gives up a Tuesday night, or he gives up a Tuesday morning, or he gives up a Saturday afternoon, or he gives up a time that Brother Caleb designates for him. SWAT. And he says, I'm going to do something else for Jesus. I'm going to give some more. So he does. And God gives back manifold more. That's the way it works out. So he's growing in his Christian life. And he decides, I'm going to give more than that. I'm going to just give my whole life. I want folks in my neighborhood to know I'm a Christian. I want folks at work to know I'm a Christian. I want folks in my family to know I'm a Christian. He starts living. He makes changes. Whatever the preacher preaches, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I have to wear, whatever I have to listen to, whatever I should be watching, all those things, however I should talk, all those things, I'm giving to Jesus Christ. And as he does, throughout his life, God gives him manifold more. Again, this is not bad. This is not bad. Everlasting life, remember? Right now, I'm looking at this guy here and I'm thinking, man, Warbucks over here. Man, this is good. That's nothing. No, that's not nothing. This is Jesus Christ. This is everlasting life. But look how much more we can have in the Christian life. Just giving something to God. As he grows older, he decides to go off to Bible college or to secular college, but he's going to give his life to Jesus Christ. What does God want me to do with my life? And he goes off to college. And it's a good testimony, whether at Bible college or at not Bible college. Still ought to be a good testimony to either one. And he does that with his life. And God decides, well, he's already decided, give him manifold more. Then he goes on in his life, gets a little bit older, gets married, has some kids. Usually happens. He's going to need some of that stuff right there. But again, we're not talking about money. And he gets involved in a church somewhere. Graduates from college. Maybe he goes into the ministry if he went to Bible college. Maybe he didn't, but he gets involved in a church somewhere. Teaching a Sunday school class. Working on a bus route. Out visitation. Working in the nursery. Helping in the baptistry. Cleaning the auditorium. Something like that. He gives his life to Jesus Christ. Working in the nursery. Your wife. We won't mention any names tonight. All right. His wife. So, So he's working in the nursery. He's working in the nursery. He's serving Jesus Christ with his life now. Got you in the nursery. I can't get you out. And God says, as he lives his life for Jesus Christ, manifold more. And as we live our life, it just keeps coming, coming, coming. Now, some people, they're saved. They have Jesus Christ. They have everlasting life. But because they do nothing, that's all they have. Again, it's not that bad. I don't want to downplay it too much. It's pretty exciting what he got. But that's where he stays, when there's more to be had. He grows older in his Christian life and covering every group. Older in his Christian life, eventually he retires. Got the grandkids to worry about. And decides, you know what? I'm going to come around church and help out a little bit. I've got time to do that. I can help out. And so he comes and he volunteers around the church. Stays involved in some of the same ministries he's always been involved in. But now giving even more of his time to Jesus Christ. And God blesses him manifold more. God blesses him hundredfold for giving back to him. He gains that. Maybe he gets older, can't do a whole lot more. That happens sometimes. Maybe like a shut-in. So old now. You know, you was this old, did you? Got that old gray hair going there. living in this assisted living home. Happens sometimes. But you know what? He can still do something for Jesus Christ. He can still do. He can pray. Say, well, that's about all I can do. Good night. That's all. He can pray. He can pray for people that have burdens. That prayer list, that's a pretty good thing for a shut-in to have. That prayer list, that's a pretty good thing for them to have. He can be a great influence on the grandkids. I'm not making that up. How many times have you heard Brother Angel mention his grandparents, his grandma? Just mentioned it recently. Went to that preaching meeting with him. Would he have gone without her? I don't know. Grandparents are still important. No, still important. Are very important. Very important. And he can still do something for Jesus Christ. And as he does, God blesses, manifest more. Come on up here. This is it. This is the main part of the message right here. We have this man over here, this Christian over here. He has Jesus Christ. He has everlasting life. But that's all he has. When we could be walking around with this Jed Clampett role. Right here. Huh? God wants to give us so much. He's just asking for a little bit. I mean, some of the things that they give away, I guess they're not really a little bit. In the text here. Leaving a house and parents and brethren, wife, children to the kingdom of Satan. Some other things are mentioned in some of the other verses. Lands. Some other things in the other verses. I mean, sometimes you have to give up. But really, what are we giving up? When we have this right here, we don't even need that verse to give back to Jesus Christ. We've already got all we need right here. All we needed was everlasting life and Jesus Christ. And we ought to just do because it's in our heart to do it. Do because it's in our power to do it. Do because it's in our mind to do. But God makes sure, he makes it very clear to us and says, if you do give back something, if you do sell, if you do distribute, if you do leave behind some of these things, if you do give me some of your life, leave behind what you used to do with your time and give to me, and leave behind what you used to do with your money and give to me, I will give you manifold more. I'll give you hundredfold. Man, what a way to live. Man, this is great. You can have a seat. Thank you. It's a great way to live. Right here. Don, you can have a seat. Thanks. Now, here's the message, or here's the thought tonight. Here's the question, you might say. Where are we at? Is this where I'm at right here in my Christian life? What am I doing for Jesus Christ? What am I giving to Jesus Christ? Am I gonna end up my life with this? If you end up your life with this, folks, again, say it one more time. If I end up my life with this, it's not too bad having everlasting life. That's not too bad. But to live your life and as a dear elderly saint and look back on what God's done for you and to other people through you and what we have no idea what that $1 on a plate does. Because God manifolds it so much more. We have no idea. We put that little dollar on the plate, and God takes it and just sends it everywhere. We put that $50 on the plate, and God sends it. One inlet, many outlets. Manifold. Manifold. Now, that little bit of time. Let's go back to the nursery. I can't imagine working in the nursery. Can't imagine it. To me, it would be, I don't know if it is for the ladies or not. I have no idea. To me, it would be a little bit dreaded sometimes. Except for when certain people are preaching, maybe. Talking about myself. It would be, oh, tonight I got the nursery. You know, that might be a thought. Sorry, Grace. I just looked over and saw you over there. Don't say that. It might be. But you have no idea when you give your time to God for that, what He's doing with that. Because it's not just in your life. Because it comes, manifold means from all different directions and all different places. And you're giving in and it's going out many different directions. There's so much God can do. Remember the verse. Remember the verse. Verse number 23. Why don't you go ahead and look at it. Luke, if you're still there. Luke chapter 18, verse number 27. I'm sorry, verse number 27. And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm going to tell you the truth. I cannot give enough money to pay for that building. I can't do it. But I can give some time and I can give what money I have. And God can take that, boom, and make it happen. He did it once before. And He can do it again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would bless the message to our hearts today. I pray that, Lord, that something along the line of the message be a help and a challenge to us. I pray that, Lord, that folks may be sitting in here that we're busy at one time, but maybe you're not. We'll see the need to get busy in doing something for God. I pray for folks that are already busy. Well, they'll see the need to keep on keeping on. Be faithful to the end. Lord Jesus, You've blessed us in so many ways here. We've seen Your blessing. Help us, Lord, to never lose sight of what a little can do in Your hands. Help us never to lose sight that little is much when You are in it. Help us to realize that what seems impossible to us at times is not impossible with You. If we'll just do, work, give to You. Help us, Lord, to finish our Christian life exciting, fun, abundant, and manifold blessed Christian life. With head bowed and eyes closed, let me ask a couple quick questions as we usually do. If anyone say, I didn't have salvation message, didn't talk about salvation. But tonight you're here and you say, but I don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you're uncertain of that and you'd like to find out today, we can show you today how you can know for sure you have your everlasting life when you die. If there's anyone like that, you just put your hand up. Anyone say, I don't know for sure. If I die, I go to heaven. All right, let me ask a second question. Anyone here say, Brother Reardon, I've never been baptized. And tonight, I see the need to be baptized. Anyone like that, you can raise your hand. And then here, I'll show you how you can do that. All right, if you feel the need to be baptized, in just a minute, we'll have an invitation. And you can come talk to the young man right here at the center of the pulpit here on the main floor. And he'll show you what exactly that you need to do. Last invitation is for anyone involved. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight, and you feel compelled to do something, to do more. The message spoke to your heart, and there's something that you can do, something that you can give, something more that you want to give to Jesus Christ. You can go ahead and do that now. Let's all stand. We have the invitation. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come forward.